And let us pray together. O God of our people and Lord of every nation, we pray this day that your word would ring out from the mountains and your spirit shine forth in all the earth, so that as we hear your word today, all nations would hear your teaching and follow on the road of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name, who is our strength and our salvation. Amen. And on this first Sunday of Advent, the prophet lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 2. All the Sundays of Advent, I think, the Old Testament lesson will come from the prophet Isaiah today. It's chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It's on page 484 and here. And now hear the word of God. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And here ends the lesson from the prophet. We're in a new year, so now we have a new gospel. So all these next 12 months, we'll be studying the gospel of Matthew together. So today the lesson is from chapter 24, verses 36 through 44, and it's on page 701 in here. And Jesus was teaching his disciples and the crowds, and he said, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day our Lord will come. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." And here ends the lesson from the gospel. And finally, on this first Sunday of Advent, the lesson from the second half of the New Testament comes from Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. It's on page 804 and here. And Paul, the apostle, was writing to the church in Rome, and he said, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." Here ends the lesson from Romans. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So has anyone in here ever been on a long road trip? Long road trip? Okay, everyone's laughing or raising their hand. So when I was a little girl, my grandparents and my parents had lived in Southern California, and my father decided to go to graduate school in Framingham, Massachusetts. And back then, it was super expensive to fly. Well, it still is. And my parents didn't have a lot of money. So the way that we got to Framingham, Massachusetts, is we had one of those huge station wagons with the fake wood on the sides. Okay. And because it was the olden days and nobody knew, they basically just put the back seat and the back down and put a lot of blankets and turned the back of the station wagon into a great big playpen, okay? And they had a car carrier and piled stuff, you know, twice as high as the car on the top. And when we first moved out there, I have a brother who's 14 months younger and a brother who's 5 years younger. And my littlest brother was born in Massachusetts. So when we first moved, we were like 2 and 4, me and my brothers, one brother. And then my youngest brother was born while we were there. But every summer, we made the trip from Massachusetts out to Los Angeles and back. And we would, you know, just be like this little puppies in the back of the car, you know, and my dad would drive for a while, and then my mom would drive, and my dad would crawl in the back and go to sleep, and we'd sleep on him and poke him and stuff, and, you know, and no, we'd never had car seats, and, you know, okay, so. But I remember that often before we even left my grandparents' neighborhood or our neighborhood in Massachusetts, we would ask that eternal question, are we there yet? And my brothers and I even made up a song. It went like this. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? When are we going to get there? When are we going to get there? Okay, and we would just, it's kind of like the 99 bottles of beer on the wall, you know, just never ended. And back in the olden days, we really never knew exactly where we are because you always had a paper map, right? And you didn't have your phone with that little blue dot and the GPS that shows you exactly where you are. And my father loved maps. And so he always had the map like spread out on the dashboard, you know, and he'd be driving and trying to find where we were in Kansas. And, you know, and there's a lot of empty space through the middle of the country and there's not a lot of road signs. And so we would ask my dad, are we there yet? And he kind of could just tell us no, you know, like, well, where are we? I have no earthly idea. Okay, so when we moved up here to Alaska, Paul, how long? 20? A lot of years ago, 21 years ago now, I think, we had a big moving truck and a car, and the moving truck was pulling a trailer with our van on it, and we drove from Seattle to here. And we had walkie-talkies. We didn't have cell phones, I don't think, then, even 21 years ago. We had walkie-talkies that we could talk from. I drove the car, and Paul drove the big truck. And it was still that same thing. Our kids were 11 and 13 and 15 then, but it was still that same song, Are We There Yet? Right? And even before that, after we got married, our parents still in Southern California, and we got stationed in Orlando. And so in the summers, we would drive back and forth, and our kids would sing that song, Are We There Yet? You know, they probably learned it from my brothers. Okay, thank you. And so, but then we had car seats, and we have in our house what's called the trip fairy. It's kind of like the tooth fairy. I give you this gift, those of you parents and grandparents. The trip fairy came. If you were on an airplane, the trip fairy came once an hour. If you were in a car trip, the trip fairy came once or twice a day. And there were little wrap presents based on the age and gender and the kid. But the deal was you only got a present from the trip fairy if your behavior met up to my expectations. And what was really hard is sometimes your behavior got there, but your brothers didn't. So the trip fairy came often and kind of helped us manage the road and manage the trip. But there was still that eternal question, are we there yet? That is a great question for Advent, because we've got 4 weeks now till Christmas. Anticipation is building out there and in here. Today, the first Sunday of Advent, it's our tradition that the only way we've decorated the sanctuary is with the Advent wreath. But after worship today, as many of us who can are going to stick around, and we're going to decorate the sanctuary. So when you come back here next week, the sanctuary and the narthex will look a lot different. On the third Sunday of Advent, there's an insert in your bulletin for our tradition is to give poinsettias in honor or memory of someone. So on the third Sunday of Advent, there'll be a tower of poinsettias here. And then on the fourth Sunday of Advent, the lectern and the chair will go away and the manger scene will be here. And so we're building anticipation these 4 weeks of Advent. And still we have that question, are we there yet? This Advent journey, we're going to focus on the places we see along the Advent road. We're going to talk about a geography of salvation, Our fall Bible study this year talked about mountaintop moments, and we visited some significant places in Scripture, and we became fascinated by the geography of salvation. How does the geography of the Holy Land inform our understanding of how God works in God's world? And Scripture is filled with places, high ones, low ones, holy ones, easy places, hard places, all places that remind us of the length and depth that God will go to save us. We're going to look at specific places in Scripture. There's a map. You can see the Galilee and Nazareth and Samaria and Jerusalem and Bethlehem and Judea. So each week we'll look at a different place and think about how that place helps us to receive the Christ child. So today, we're on the road to Bethlehem. Advent always begins with the cosmic picture. The road begins with the biggest picture, the biggest image possible. And then each week, the circle narrows all the way down to the manger. Isaiah draws a picture of the time when God's salvation would be realized, and all nations would climb and come to the mountain of the Lord. And all God's people would live in peace and security. And no one would train for war anymore, ever and ever. The sword would become a plowshare. That's a statue that was given by the Russian government to the government of the United States. And it sits in the garden at the United Nations in New York City. And you can see the sword is turning into a plowshare. But I ask you, on this first Sunday of December, 2019, that image that Isaiah sings so beautifully, are we there yet? The challenge in Advent is to look to the mountain of God with confidence and joy, knowing we're not there. Some of us are walking in a valley of deep shadows, and we're lost in the darkness. Some of us are wandering winding paths. Some of us are even wandering in circles. And we want, just like the disciples who were talking to Jesus, to know exactly when we'll arrive at the end of the road. My childhood journeys and Paul's and my journeys with our children, we wanted to know exactly where we would be that night to sleep, or how many days it would be until we got to Grandma's house or to our home. And the problem is something always happens, right? You know, the car gets a flat tire, or somebody gets sick, or there's some sort of detour that takes you well off the road. If you're driving the Alaska Highway, there's always something, right? Even if you're driving straight across from Los Angeles to Massachusetts, that's a pretty straight road along I-10 or I-whatever is north of that one, right? That's a pretty straight road, and something always happens. And we want, just like the disciples queried Jesus 2,000 years ago, to know exactly when we're going to get to the end of the road. But Jesus says, nobody knows, not even the Son, only the Father. Because, Jesus says, it's God's time when it happens. And you know in the Bible, there's two words in Greek for time. One of them is chronos. It's the watchword, right? It's where we get our word chronology. The other word for time is kairos. And kairos is not the kind of time we mark on a clock, but the kind of time that only God knows. And sometimes it goes really fast. Why is it that when we're happy, the days go so fast? And when we're worried and stressed and sick, it's like, you know, the days pass so slowly. Jesus says nobody knows when we're going to get to the end of the road. Nobody knows when we're going to be at the top of the mountain. Only God. And our job on the road is to keep watch and be ready. Those are the two phrases for the first Sunday of Advent. Keep watch and be ready. Because as Paul told the Roman church who were waiting for Christ to return, salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. It was true 2,000 years ago, and it's just as true now. And so our Advent task is to walk in God's light, to wait and watch and listen. And remember that Jesus has come and is coming so that we can put on the armor of light, as Paul the Apostle says, and someday climb the mountain of God. It's a long journey. Are we there yet? Advent hope rests on the promises of God. It rests on the fact that we walk in God's time, even in darkness, even in suffering, even when we're lost on that winding path and every road looks the same, and sometimes it feels like all we do is run in circles. Brothers and sisters in Christ, are we there yet? Only God knows. But he is with us always on the road. Alleluia. Amen. Let us pray. Holy and almighty God, we thank you for this road that we begin today, and for the holy places we visit, and for the mountain of God, your mountain, that waits for us, that beckons us. Lord our God, our hope is in you, and we walk in your light. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen. There's an affirmation.